warning. What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Several years ago, a research was carried out at the Carnegie Institute of Technology, and the research was carried out on people who had been sacked, people who had been fired from their jobs over a period of 10 years. This research was carried out in so many companies. It was discovered that 95% of those who were fired over a 10-year period were not fired for lack of competence, they were fired because they had negative attitudes. It's remarkable. You know, we said attitude is more important than fact. Attitude will make or break a home, a company, or a church. When you have a church where negative attitudes run rampant, before you know what's happening, the church cracks up. When you have a company where the staff have negative attitudes, before you know what's happening, that company becomes dysfunctional. When you have a home where people have a negative attitude, it's just inevitable the home will crack up. You need to understand that people who are in the position to control your advancement like to have people with a positive attitude around them. Those who can help would rather help people with a positive attitude. When it shows in your look, shows in your talk, shows in your walk, shows in how you feel that you are positive, you are upbeat. You're somebody who is going somewhere, like to have you around them. When you have someone who gripes, someone who complains, someone who's gloomy, somehow you just don't feel like helping such a person, because such a person does not look prepared for the next level. That's why I love the story of David in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30. I see here how some people had a reason to feel negatively. They had a reason to feel bad, and they really, really felt bad. The good news about this is the fact that they translated from their bad feelings to positive feelings, and they went out to win. 1 Samuel chapter 30, from verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Wow. How worse could it get? A man leaves home, By the time he comes back, his house has been razed to the ground, burnt, his goods carted away, his wife gone, children gone. If you really want to get a man, then you do that to him. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. These men were not ordinary men, they were soldiers. If you were looking for people who had courage, these were the men. These were men who had gone beyond fear. They were courageous men. They had men who had learned to master their emotions. They were winners. They were champions. But they touched them where you shouldn't touch a man. Took away their wives. Took away their children. They broke down. Verse 4, then David and the men who were with him lifted up their voices and wept. This one didn't make any difference between the leader and the follower. He said they wept until they had no more power to weep. When something happens where both the pastor and church members are crying, it is a serious problem. Everybody was crying. There was nobody to beg anybody to stop. So, you know, when there are people around you to ask you not to cry, then you stop on time. These ones had no stopping time. There was nobody begging anybody. Each one had his own cry to cry. So the Bible says that they cried and cried and cried. The only thing that stopped them was that they couldn't cry again. Cried. Cried. Men. No women. Only men. Guy. And then they cried and cried and cried, cried and cried and cried and cried, grieved, cried, grieved, cried, grieved, grieved. It got to the point they were just looking at themselves. May you never find such a situation this year. Then David's problem was emphasized in verse 5. And David had two wives. The others were crying for one wife each. This one had two. Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Didn't he have enough problems? You know, it was like the devil was just increasing the degrees of his calamity. The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Negative emotion ran rampant, went haywire this particular day. Everybody grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But that was where the turning point came. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I love the word used in the King James Version. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Is God. Where does this kind of strength come from? It was not physical strength. It was spiritual strength. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The truth was, the man picked up his emotions. Picked up his feelings. His emotions had been running down and down and down, and the man just did a spin. Come on. And the moment he did that, every step from there led to a breakthrough. He changed his attitude. He changed his circumstances. Because then, verse 7 says, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring me the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? See, nobody was talking of pursuing anybody when they were crying. The only breakthrough idea they had was to stone their leader. No, the truth was, if they killed the man, they were finished. These were people who had nothing when they met him. There were people who were in debt. Okay? There were people who were down and out when they met this man. It was because of his leadership and the grace of God on his life that their lives had changed and they had become a band of champions and winners. They wanted to kill the man. That's how you get breakthrough ideas. When you are sad, you'll be looking for somebody to kill. And if God allows you to kill somebody, you will kill the wrong person. At the moment he changed his attitude, the next thing was, what's the next thing? Lord, should I go? And interestingly, he had the voice of God. And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Why could they talk of recovery? In verse 2, the account is, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great, they did not kill anyone. You see, when they were overcome with grief, they had not noticed that as bad as the situation was, there was something positive that had happened. They could have killed everybody, and if they had killed their wives and children, there would have been nothing to recover. However bad your situation may be, somehow there is still one reason inside that situation why you should give God some praise. Everything can't go down in your life at the same time. Take that from me tonight. Some things may not be working in your life, but everything cannot go down at the same time. As a pastor, I've learned a big lesson. Sometimes a pastor ties his happiness, his joy, his sense of success to the attendance in the church, the attendance at programs. Now, I tell you, there was a time some years ago when the attendance stayed on the same spot in this church for so long, we did everything. In fact, sometimes I got so angry, I would get to the office in the morning. When I saw the pastors in the office, I would ask everybody, what are we doing in the office? The church is not growing. You are sitting down. We are going out. Everybody stand up. We are going on evangelism. We would ransack the police barracks behind our church location then, go to Elephant House, the offices there, and so on, looking for souls, inviting people to the church, next Sunday service. And the unfortunate thing was sometimes it was the very week that we went out like that the attendance would go down on Sunday. When a pastor puts his sense of success on the attendance, the devil knows how to keep him frustrated permanently. One Sunday, the attendance will go up, and just while you are celebrating the next Sunday, the thing will drop. But I learned a lesson. And see, I was so discouraged. Looking at this attendance, Sunday, after some time, I told the ushers not to count anymore. I told them to stop counting. Were you counting? There's no point counting anything. Frustrate my life. Stop counting. Today I regret that I did so. I wish that I had asked them to count but not to tell me. Just record it in a notebook. Years later, after everything had exploded, just a few years ago, we were now drawing charts. You know, compiling, we went into the archives to bring out all those figures and we were now drawing graphs. You know, so the attendance for a large period of time was completely missing, a whole year. And I remembered why. I told them not to count. Now I wish I had asked them to count. You know why? I may have avoided looking at the attendance at that time, but I should have looked at other things. The total attendance is not the only factor that represents what God has done in a service. the attendance can go down and the number of those who gave their lives to Christ will go up. The attendance may go down and the number of first-timers will still go up. Attendance may go down and the income for that day would go up. Everything cannot go down at the same time. Help me to tell your neighbor, everything can't go down in your life at the same time. The question tonight, how do you see the cup? Some see the cup half empty. Some others see the cup half full. It depends on what you focus on. Some focus on the emptiness. They focus on what is not working. Some others focus on fullness. They focus on what is working. And when you have a person like that, then you have the kind of a person who sees the silver lining on a dark cloud. However dark the cloud may be, there will be a silver lining at the edge of the cloud. There are some people, because they are anointed to see the negative, they have the grace to see the dark lining in a silver cloud. We're talking about seeing the silver lining in a dark cloud. Some people, when the whole cloud is silver, they will still see a dark line on it. The kind of people that when you share your testimony with how this happened for you, how this happened, say, but. In Psalm 42, I love what the psalmist there, the sons of Korah, wrote. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And in verse 11, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Wow. You may not be able to choose your circumstances, but you can choose your attitude. Your attitude will choose your circumstances. You may not be able to choose your circumstances, but you can choose your attitude. David and his friends could not choose their circumstances here, but they could choose their attitude. They could. You can choose your attitude. You may not be able to stop them from sacking you in the office, but for God's sake, you can choose whether to be happy or sad. You may not be able to choose what people will say about you, but for God's sake, you can choose how you will respond and act, because attitude is a choice. There's a song someone sang from these verses of scripture, and I love that song. Why so downcast, oh my soul, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God and bless the Lord, oh my soul. I love the song. Why are you down? Why are you cast down? Come on. He was talking to himself. He was talking to his soul. And the soul is where your mind is. That's where your emotions are. That's where your will is. Excuse me, sir. Chair. Why are you cast down? I won't allow you to go down. You have to come up. Love that. You may not be able to choose your circumstances, but you can choose your attitude. Moving your attitude from negative to positive is not something you should expect others to do for you. It's your responsibility. Tonight we're speaking on attitude control. Attitude control. Now you know negative things happen to negative people and positive things happen to positive people. But all of us are tempted every day to be negative. It's a negative world. So it's your responsibility and my responsibility, when those things happen to us that would provoke a negative attitude, for us to move our attitude from the negative to the positive. Controlling your thoughts and your feelings is spiritual warfare. It's a fight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3, Apostle Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not man-made, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds." What are the strongholds? It says we cast down every imagination or every argument. Cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, everything that contends with what God is saying to us. And it says bring in what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Holding captive every thought, one translation of the Bible says. In other words, arresting thoughts. You must understand that God has put you in the position to arrest thoughts, to arrest feelings, to capture thoughts. Because in the realm of the spirit, thoughts are things. They're not just vague issues, they are realities in the spirit realm. When a thought is deposited into your heart, something has been deposited into your life. If it is something you don't want, arrest it. So tonight I'm asking us to learn to summarily arrest and execute thoughts. Arrest and execute emotions. Early in my Christian life, I read a book titled Conquest of the Mind by Elbert Willis. I'll never forget that book. Because while I was not yet saved, the devil had done over time on my mind. And I just couldn't help it. My thinking would lapse into the negative, move into the negative. And when I read Conquest of the Mind, the author said we must learn to murder evil thoughts. I said, hey, I'm a murderer. I don't kill people. I kill negative thoughts. I had to prepare myself and build that kind of a mindset that would recognize a negative thought when it would land in my mind. And then in my imagination, I would imagine myself holding a sword, holding that negative thought by the neck, and it helped me to be free from the effects of those negative thoughts. If you read Ephesians chapter 6, that speaks about spiritual warfare, when Apostle Paul describes the weapons of our warfare, talks about having your waist tied with the girdle of truth, you need to think about those items of spiritual warfare and you will realize they are things that exist in your mind and in your emotions. Truth is just information. Okay? The breastplate of righteousness has to do with your feeling. You either feel a sense of having a right standing with God or a sense of guilt and condemnation. So he says, and you know the breastplate protects your heart. A Christian will be easily injured and incapacitated without that feeling of having a right standing with God. When you have the right to stand before God, you have a right to stand before the devil, you have a right to stand before human beings. And many Christians don't know how to keep that breastplate up. You make a mistake. Sometimes you don't even make any mistake. The devil brings a memory of your past life, what you did before you were saved, and tells you you're a sinner. He's lying through the teeth, but you are beginning to feel guilty and unworthy in God's presence. But this guy is lying. Because if any man be in Christ is a new creature, all things are passed away and all things have become new. The right to stand before God is not something you can ever pay for. It was paid for on the cross of Calvary. You take it and enjoy it. That's all. It's appropriated by faith. Living holy is different from being righteous. Okay? Being holy is a process. Being righteous happens instantaneously. It happens when you ask God for forgiveness for your sins. That's all. You are righteous. Don't confuse the two. Being righteous is having the right to stand. You can never qualify. Jesus was qualified. He became disqualified so that you could become qualified. That's all. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Did I hear you say amen?
Amen.
That's your breastplate. Those are the things that influence your thinking, influence your emotions. Talks about the helmet of salvation, of deliverance, your understanding of the concept of deliverance from the word of God. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13 says you've got to be conscious of that. And all of that is written in the past tense. He says that's your helmet. What does the helmet do? Protects the head. Protects your thinking. There's a lot of wrong thinking in this country. I mean amongst Christians. That's why I always contend that I will never agree with the Christian doctrine that positions a Christian as a poor person struggling to become rich. It's not New Testament. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty may become rich. It was a work of substitution. It's already done. It's already finished. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Not will overcome them. You have overcome them. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's in the past tense. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. And I'm free. Not I'm going to be free. I am free. That's the helmet of salvation. It protects your head, your thinking, your mentality. Hallelujah. And when he talks about the sword, he says it's the sword of the spirit. Or he talks about the shield of faith, for example, which you quench every fiery dart of the devil. What's the fiery dart? A negative thought. A thought. See, if a dart is an arrow, a fiery dart is an arrow whose hedge has been set on fire. In those days, they would shoot such arrows so that when they would land on those thatched roofs, those houses would go on fire before they get into the face-to-face combat. So the devil fires such arrows. It's a thought. When it hits a person's mind, sets it on fire. Just a thought, an idea. So he says it's the shield of faith. And what is faith? What God said to you. That you believe and have accepted as the reality of your life, the ultimate reality. You use that and use it to quench and kill all those negative thoughts and the emotions that want to come with them. This is spiritual warfare, sir. Controlling your emotions, controlling your attitude is spiritual warfare. It's a fight. And some people don't want to fight. They don't want to take the responsibility. James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In warfare, sometimes there's a lull in action. Some other time, there's intensity of firing from both sides. And sometimes when it comes to your mind and your emotion, that's exactly how it is. When temptation comes, it's in seasons. The devil tempted Jesus. And after some time, the Bible says that the devil left him for a season. It comes like that. There are times of intense attack. Your mind is under attack. Under attack. Under attack. And you've got to take it up then. It's a fight. You wake up in the morning, it's this negative thought and emotion that wants to come. Any free moment, this negative thought and emotion wants, it's a fight. You've got to learn to fight over your mind. Because your mind and your emotions are the battleground. What are the negative thoughts that we are talking about that must be dealt with? Thoughts of poverty. Poverty thinking. Thoughts of lack. And insufficiency. When it comes to this issue of provision, your mind is blocked. You can't see abundance coming. You can't see sufficiency. And because you think lack, your mood is also going down. You're feeling bad. You're feeling low. There's nothing. And everything is dark. It looks difficult. It's just a thought. It's not the truth. That's one of the things I had to deal with. Thoughts of failure. You know the devil knows his job. You fail one time, the devil takes it. You are a failure. You are a failure. You failed before. If it happened once, why shouldn't it happen again? In fact, the fact that it happened once is proof it will happen again. You see, you are a failure. There is something that is different about you. You see, you are not brilliant. You are not as intelligent as others. You see, you have a low IQ. You see, something is wrong with you. You see, and before you know what's happening, it's warfare. The devil is not joking. It's warfare. It's warfare. Okay? Thoughts of failure. And before you know what's happening, it creates a cycle. It becomes a cycle. And especially when the person fails the second time. And then face the third time. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Thoughts of failure. Thoughts of poverty and lack. You have to deal with thoughts of impossibility. Impossibility. Impossibility thinking. Some people have that. Everything is difficult. Those are negative thoughts. If you switch on to the positive, then you think success. There's a way you just think things are going to work out for you. You think things are going to work out for you. Thoughts of abundance. Somehow, it's remarkable. I've experienced both. It's remarkable. It's not about paper. It's just about thinking. I've experienced both. And you see, most people wait for circumstances to come and change their thinking. When they have money, then they will think rich. Sorry, you may wait for a long time. It does not work like that. When you learn this principle of attitude control, and you can switch from poverty thinking to prosperity thinking, watch out for your account. Because it's a law. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thank God that it was when I had nothing that he began to assault those mental blockades that I had. Like jobless graduate, telling people I can never be poor again for the rest of my life. I'm not a local champion. I'm a world champion. Since attitude is more important than fact, and your attitude determines your altitude, I left the local league and moved into premiership. Hallelujah. That was what I thought. That was how I felt. That was what I said. And eventually, that was what I did. I remember when I used to be in Ilorin, Kwara State. And I used to brag. I'm not a local champion. I'm going to the world. I was youth pastor. Our church then. And then one day the Holy Spirit said to me, if you are not a local champion and you are going to the world, he said, burn down this city. Burn down this town until you are too big for where you are. You are not yet qualified for somewhere else. He said, raise this city, shut this city down. I said, that's true, you know. You can just be using mouth to say you are not a local champion. But even on the local league, you have not done anything. In fact, you are at the bottom of the relegation table. When you have positive thinking, you think like a conqueror. You think like a winner. Somehow it's been infused into me now. I don't know. I just don't enter. It doesn't bother me when it's not working out. There's no way it won't work out. Except if it's not a law or if God has changed his mind. As long as in my mind I see it working out, it will work out. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Interesting. You can prosper in the midst of poverty. You can thrive in the midst of famine. It depends a whole lot on your mentality and your attitude. Let's talk about negative emotions. Fear. Fear. Fear of failure. It's remarkable. I discovered in my study of success that many people fail because of the fear of failure. They have not failed. They have fear that they will fail. So they fail. Because fear is faith. And according to your faith, so be it unto you. Fear is negative faith. There's anger. Anger is an emotion. Most people who don't have control over their emotions admit readily that this is the one area where they miss it. Anger. Okay? Anger is both a positive and a negative emotion. Just the negative one that I'm talking about. When you read the Bible, it's remarkable. The angriest person in the Bible was God. Okay? When standards are being broken, when principles are laws and being broken, anger is legitimate. But righteous anger is controllable. I'm talking about the one that when it comes in, people lose control of their rational thoughts, rational thinking ability, and then do whatever. Okay? Anxiety. Hatred. Envy. Despair. Depression. Discouragement. Grief, guilt, and then this one, self-pity. Come on, Sheo. You know, some people organize pity parties for themselves. Self-pity. They pity themselves. They are negative emotions. I used to be moody. Weakness of my personality type. Just become moody. Just sink into a dark. Sometimes I wouldn't even know why. And everybody around me would be feeling uncomfortable. Because they'll begin to wonder if they're the ones that are making you sad. There's this particular experience I remember. That one I know why I was not happy. In the village or town where I grew up, you see, at this time, I think I was about 7 years old or so. There were no TV signals. You see, there was no TV. I had never watched television before. Okay? There was during long vacation, then I went to visit my uncle in Kaduna. And I saw TV. You see, okay, I had seen one television box before. It was brought by a neighbor who had moved to that town from the city. He brought his TV set, but no signals, no TV signals. So we used to look at the box, then we asked what it was. I didn't know. They tried to explain it, but I didn't understand. Okay? Just say you will see human beings inside it. When it comes on, and lo and behold, I went on holiday. This was TV. And in those days, of course, they would start transmission like 4 p.m. and end at about 11 p.m. And of course, from the time they started to the time they finished, was TV. And of course, sometimes, for whatever reason, the signals will just go off. And then you see those black and white dots, you know, on the TV. This particular day, it was 4 p.m. They were supposed to start. There was no television. Ah! Waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes, was trying the day. 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours. I didn't know when I became sad. I was depressed.
I sat down there. They were cracking jokes, they were telling stories. I did not mind anybody. I was in a world of my own. Because after I said, what's wrong? What's the problem? I said nothing. Because I was too ashamed to admit it was because of television that I was sad. It took me a long time, you know, to come. It was when I began to read books on temperament that I now came face to face with the reality that this was a weakness. This was a problem. And one day the Holy Spirit asked me, Mister, you are moody, you have become sad and depressed. Now you are a leader. So do you want church members to begin to ask you, sir, I hope no problem. Be encouraged, it is well. Positive emotions include love, joy, peace, faith. Love, joy, peace, faith, gratitude. Gratitude. Anyway, let's try and wrap it up. How do you move from negative to positive? Number one thing that creates a change in your attitude is a change of perspective, or what we call a paradigm shift. A change of perspective, a change in the way you see the situation. Because it's enough to change your thinking and to change your emotions, and ultimately your confession and your action. Change of perspective is the foundation for attitude control. Change of perspective. There was this man who came into a train station with his children, and the children were making noise. They were fighting among themselves, quarreling, and all of that, jumping on themselves and so on. And this man sat down. Those children were disturbing everybody. This man sat down. Everybody was expecting this man to control those children. The man sat down. He said nothing. He just kept to himself. And other people around were really, really irritated. And after a few minutes, one man walked up to him and said, excuse me, sir. Why don't you control your children? They are disturbing everybody. The man said, I'm sorry. They just lost their mother. You see, the moment he said that, the man who came to attack him and challenge him just calmed down. This man had just lost his wife. These children had just lost their mother. So instead of being irritated and angry with the man, his emotion changed to pity for the man and those children. Why? He began to see the situation differently. That's what I'm talking about. A change of perspective concerning any situation is the foundation for a change in your attitude. In 2 Kings chapter 6, this battalion of soldiers came from the Syrian army to arrest Elisha, the prophet, at the city called Dothan. When the servant of Elisha came out in the morning and saw those soldiers, he screamed, "Hey, my master, what shall we do?" The prophet said to him, "Fear not." You see, the emotion he was feeling was a negative one. It was fear. He said, fear not. He said, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And the young man didn't understand what he was saying. So his negative emotion remained. You see, they were in the same situation, but their attitudes were different. So Elisha prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. The Bible says that the Lord opened the young man's eyes and he saw chariots of fire. He saw horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He calmed down. He now had the same emotions, the same attitude that the prophet had. Amen. A change of perspective is the foundation for a change of attitude. A new revelation will take you to a new altitude. A new revelation will affect your thinking, affect your emotions, affect your confession, affect the way you see things. Sometimes, you know, I just imagine that scenario. if I was the servant. And you know, I was scared of these enemy soldiers before, and then all of a sudden, I saw angels armed to the teeth. Angels after the order of Michael. Warrior angels with spiritual AK-47 rifles. Some of them carrying inter-universal ballistic missiles, ready to blow anybody's head off. I tell myself, if I was the one, me that I was shivering before, all of a sudden, I will call the captain of the enemy, come. If you are born well, cross over to this side. By the time we're through with this seminar, that's how somebody here is going to change. This is not a year for being afraid. Not a year for negative confession. Not a year for feeling like a victim. It's a year for being more than a conqueror. Did I hear you say amen? Because whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith, our attitude. That's the victory that overcomes the world. It's not about the situation, it's about what you think and how you feel. So when they ask you this year, how are you? Stop defying. Stop fine. I feel great. I feel wonderful. How are you? Terrific. How are you? Fantastic. When I send text messages to people, my GSM phone, I usually don't like to put good morning. I put great morning. It's a great morning. Hallelujah. That's how I feel. It's a great morning. Amen. Okay, and then, of course, to change your perspective, you know what to do. Pray. 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 Okay? Pray. Pray. I'll read Philippians chapter 4. We'll wrap it up on that. Philippians chapter 4. Now you are feeling negative. You're feeling low. What do you do? Verse 4 says, I want all of us to read it together. Philippians 4 and verse 4. If you're there, let's go. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. For emphasis. Double emphasis. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. He says, let your gentleness or your moderation or your self-control be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. This year, you are not permitted to be anxious. You are not permitted to be fearful. You are not permitted to be depressed. Listen, this year, watch out for that person who calls himself a star, a mega star. That person who calls herself a mega star. You look somebody moving around with a long face, take the blessing off. Let's cheer up. It's your year of great grace. See somebody, like my pastor said, when you see somebody moving around with a long face, it shows that the person has a long way to go. Be anxious for nothing. Say with me, this year, I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to worry. Hey, see what he's saying about how to translate to positive emotion. He says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude. Let your request be made known to God. What will be the result? And the peace of God. That's a positive emotion. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. When God's peace comes into your heart, comes into your mind, and in the Amplified Version, it says, the peace of God will stand guard and garrison your mind. Hallelujah. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. Okay? Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, this year is prayer. A negative emotion is coming. I begin to feel negative. Shakataka rabrosataka paya. Jebro skandalaya hambero du justika hatelus. He says with thanksgiving, music helps. In 2 Kings 3, Elisha just had bad news. They were coming to attack Israel. He said, bring me a mistress. Bring me a mistress. Bring me. As soon as the guy began to play and his mood improved, there was a prophetic word. Thus saith the Lord. You don't get solutions when you are depressed. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I have some tracks on CDs in my car. When I get to those tracks and I'm in the car, then I press repeat. Sing it. Sing, repeat. Sing it again. It's my CD. You don't have to sing it. If it was radio, I would not be able to repeat it. This one, I have control. Sing it again. I want to hear again. There's one track that sings, God causes all things to work together for your good. I press repeat. Tell me. Satan is a liar. Tell me. Hallelujah. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Did I hear you say amen? Learn to meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. Then use positive affirmation. Speak out. Words have tremendous impact on your emotions. Your own words. More than any other person's words, your own words. Your own words. I learned that Smith Wigglesworth was the powerful man of God. When he woke up in the morning, as soon as he opened his eyes, he would shout, Hallelujah! And jump out of bed. And some people here were startled. That's exactly how it used to happen to his wife. He wakes up in the morning, Hallelujah! What a way to wake up. Come on, positively charged. Woo! I like to drive alone in my car sometimes so I can have the freedom. Sometimes while going like that, I just say, Hallelujah! And I carry on, Hallelujah. With that, you shake off the devils. Attract the angels and get ready for a miracle. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Talk to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're beautiful. You're handsome. You are the man for the hour. This is your season. Go ahead and break through. This is the day that the Lord has made. You rejoice and be glad in it. I saw a confession in a book and I've been saying it to myself over and over. Every day and in every way. Getting better and better every day and in every way. I'm getting richer and richer. I'm getting healthier and healthier. I'm getting wiser and wiser. Hallelujah. Every day and in every way. I like to say that in the morning. In other words, whichever way it goes today, both the good and the bad that comes, I will use it to get better. I will use it to get richer. There's no way it goes in this city that I will not break through. I'm an outstanding, extraordinary child of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not the masses. I'm not a common man. Eh? You are referring to yourself. Say, we common men. Are you common? The blood that was shed for you on Calvary's cross is one in the whole world. One in the universe. You are a peculiar person. You are a special person. You are a royal priesthood. Not just a royalty. Not just a priest. A royal priesthood. You are in a class of your own. When you walk on the road, you better understand you are not just another person walking on the road. I'm not impressed when I see governors or whoever moving on the road with sirens. I wish they saw my own. It's a matter of perspective. Hallelujah. You have physical security agents. You need to look into the realm of the spirit. The Bible says he will give his angels charge over me. They'll bear me up in their hands lest I dash my foot against a stone. Hallelujah. When I go on the road, there are angels blaring sirens ahead of me. When I'm coming, they clear the way. Hundreds of kilometers are radius around where I am. Glory to God. When I enter into a vicinity, there are spiritual agents walking around looking at the person who has a gun, who has this, who is planning evil for me. He said he will bless those who bless me and curse those who curse me. Anyone who is planning to do me good, God will do them good so they can do me good. Hallelujah. And anyone who is planning to do me evil, God will keep them busy. They won't even remember me at all. I'm not just another person. Hallelujah. I stood on the road one day. One man was driving his car. He wanted to park by the side of the road. I was standing there, and the man made as if he was coming to hit me. Then I stood there. Then he made as if he was going to hit me. Then I said, come. And that day I was talking to myself. I said, today you will see where a car hit a human being, and it is a car that is standing. You don't know who is standing on the road. I'm in a special class of my own. Did I hear you say, good day? Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Things are getting better. Glory to God. Woo! A change in perspective will change your attitude. Tonight I want to say just one prayer. Lord, help me to see it the way you see it. Hey, you called it a delay. God said it is prophetic timing. Genesis 45 and verse 14. Joseph said to his brothers, you sold me into this place. He said, but God sent me. Those are two perspectives, the same situation. You sold me. God sent me. Woo! You were selling me, okay? God was sending me. It's a matter of perspective. Lift your voice to the Lord. Open my eyes. Let me see the way you are seeing it. What I'm calling a problem may be the best opportunity of my life. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. He said, call unto me. I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. When you see what God sees, you will think what God thinks, feel what God feels, say what God says, and take bold steps to do what God wants you to do. It's not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as you think. Everything is not finished yet. Everything is not going down in your life. Compartmentalize everything. That something is not working does not mean everything is not working. There's something that is working for you. Give God some praise and thanks for it. Open my eyes. Let me see it the way you see it. Let me see it the way you see it. Let me see it the way you see it. Open my eyes. Let me see it the way you see it. Open my eyes. Let me see it the way you see it. Holy Spirit, engage somebody's spirit tonight. Engage someone's emotions tonight. Break down the stronghold of addiction. Addiction to pride. Addiction to jealousy. Addiction to anger. Addiction to guilt. Somebody's addicted to guilt. When they've not had a dose of it in the day, they don't feel okay. Father, pull down the strongholds by the power of the Holy Ghost. We break free from negative thoughts. Somebody thinks impossibility, thinks lack. No, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we pull down strongholds, pull down negative thinking, pull down poverty thinking, pull down, Lord, feelings of failure, thinking of failure, feelings of rejection. We break free in this place tonight. We receive healing. We receive healing. We receive healing. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, they did what they did in the past. That does not have to control my future. We break free, break free, break free from every negative emotion. Break free from every negative thought. Break free from victim mentality. Break free from the feeling of fear. Yes, Lord, we break free in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, thank you for the pulling down of those limited strongholds. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, there's a miracle happening here tonight. Somebody's breaking free, breaking free, breaking free from those limitations that the devil put on the inside. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Christ, make me free. I'm free. I cannot be entangled again with the yokes of bondage to fear. I'm free. Christ set me free. He delivered me from the power of darkness. I'm not under the influence of the devil anymore. The constitution has changed. My citizenship rights have changed. I'm free. Thank you, Jesus. Free, free, free. Free from the devil's remote control. Just one thought in my own life is turned upside down. No more. Thank you, Jesus.
no more, no longer. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. There's nothing wrong with me, everything's right with me. My destiny is beautiful. My destiny is colorful. My tomorrow will be better than my yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm renewed in the attitude of my mind. Renewed in the spirit of my mind. I do not walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility, vainness, vanity of their minds. Thank you, Jesus. I belong to the company of the wise. In blessing, I'm blessed, and in multiplying. The blessings of Abraham are of my life. My circumstances cannot dictate my destiny. It's my destiny that must dictate my circumstances.